You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, to the rest of the chapter. In the reading of our text, I want to call your attention to something that maybe it has not, I don't know. But if you're a careful reader of Scripture, you must have been frustrated when you read in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 23, your Bible says, "Preach to every creature," which is under heaven, which isn't untrue. But that's not exactly what is said. What it is said is he made a proclamation to every creation under heaven. In Peter's writings, in the first chapter of Peter, we find these words in verse 10 and 11 and 12. The salvation, verse 10, the salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Searching what? As to what this grace would be, as to what matter of time. Two things. What this grace that the prophets look forward to, and secondly, as to the time, which was in them did signify, and it was testified beforehand, two things, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Turning, if you will, now to Ephesians and chapter 3, and our calling concerning this mystery, that in verse 9, to make all, and you'll notice again, I've called your attention to this, the word men is in italics. We'll come back to that all in a minute. To make all see what is the dispensation or the fellowship, these are relative words, of the sacred secret, which from the beginning of ages been hid in God, created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, let that verse hit you now, and look, now notice as you meet, it leads into the next verse. To the intent that now, under the principalities, the celestial powers, in the super heavens, might be known through the called out of God, the manifold wisdom of God. Keep that thought in mind. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the sacred secrets, not just the secret, but secrets. It is required then of a steward that a man be found what? Faithful. One other reference to Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. Romans 8 and 9. For the earnest expectation of the creation, not the creature, waits for the manifestation of the Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. I got the 9 right, but didn't put the 1 on it. Verse 19, everybody got it? For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creation was made manifest to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groans together in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we also groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. We're saved by hope, but hope that's seen is not hope. What a man sees, why doth he yet hope for it? Lastly, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. The subject matter here is the coming of the Lord, verse 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the parousia, the personal presence of our Lord. Then he goes on to show what hinders that day, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for except there come a falling away or an apostasy, and the man of sin be unveiled, the son of perdition, who clothes and exalts himself above all that is called God, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of the Naos, the Holy of Holies, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what hinders, in order that he might be unveiled in his time. And underscore this in your Bible, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now let's come back to our text in Colossians chapter 1 and the verse 23. Incidentally, if here in that verse, if that bothers you, it's this type of an if, assuming that you continue in the faith, not if you continue in the faith. Paul is taking that for granted, that if you're saved, you will continue. But if you just are an intellectual about the matter, you better check your whole card again. And he makes a statement here, as I say, this was always very confusing to me. And if you've been a serious reader, when you read it, I ask you in all honesty, did you just gloss over it? Or did you really consider it? That the Apostle Paul proclaimed to the whole, to every creation in his ministry. Have you ever thought about that? These are some of the secrets that are brought to fruition in the mystery, the secret. Let me quickly, I can't go into all of them, but just to give you a bird's eye picture of what I'm trying to say is, those of you in the construction business will appreciate this, because I know very little about construction. I know a lot about destruction, but not much about construction. In any case, if you can imagine a home built, completely equipped and everything, and in the back somewhere, or in the center, wherever you want to put it, is a room that's empty, got nothing in it. It's a room nobody ever goes into because it's sealed off. Just a blank space. You say, well, that nobody does it. Yes, they do. In fact, the matter is, Ben built a house down here. It's got several parts in it, just absolutely vacant. There's nothing in there at all. And since I didn't know why I got that extra room or anything, I never inquired. This secret is sort of like that room. It's been there all the time. And there are many great tools that build up to it, like you run wires through a wall to get into that room, you understand? To make contact with it. Now, the secrets of God are all foundational, moving toward the secret, or that mystic room, so to speak. And all of a sudden, you find out that empty room, and nobody else knows much about it anyhow, you can't even get in there. But you've got, at the same time, a how to say this? The possibility of wiring it without tearing the house down. For instance, in I don't know so much about this country, but in the old world, some of the old massive structures there that are ancient is all get out. And in this country, for instance, the Mormon Temple in Salt Lake City, it had room for modern day wiring. You find that in a lot of the buildings in the old world. They didn't have to tear the building down to go in and rewire or do anything. They had accommodations. Why they left that room, I don't know. But they didn't have to. They could run wiring in there without any problem at all. Didn't have to tear any walls or anything else. Well, the mystery is sort of like that. It's all been prepared, and all the secrets of God have come to be up to that wall, like the electric lights or the plumbing or whatever has to go into that secret. And the mystery is that's the hidden purpose that brings together all the truth, the truth, not just a truth, but all the truths of the Scriptures. Now we have many great secrets of God. That's why Paul said, in this day and age, we are stewards of the mysteries of God, which are the foundational things that make possible understanding what the mystery is. Have you followed me so far? I don't want to drop anybody here, because this is important, you understand this. In the Sunday school class this morning, Tom and them were talking about, they've been discussing the book of Revelation. And Mr. Penny was here down at the house, and now he spoke on the 13th chapter of Revelation, you remember? These are all things that are pretty well veiled, but the mystery makes possible the understanding of these things. And you know, today you see that demonstrated if you listen to the radio or watch the television. I'd say at least 50 or 60% of the programs have to do with the second coming of Christ. And we got people telling us that the Antichrist is going to come right now, and then we got people talking about the rapture going to happen tomorrow, and you know, all that. Well, we mentioned a while ago that in 2 Thessalonians, before any of this happens, the man of sin has to be revealed. And following that, Paul makes mention of the fact, and I wonder if you've glossed over this one too. The mystery of iniquity does already work. There's never been a time in history since the crucifixion of Christ that the possibility of the man of sin appearing was not possible. Never. See, Satan knows only what God reveals. And when it was revealed that the man of sin could not be made known, the mystery of iniquity began to what? Work. So that every age, every dispensation has been prepared for the possibility of the man of sin. Satan has always had his man of sin ready. For instance, if you lived in the time when Nero was here, do you know who the Christian people thought he was? It's a matter of record in history. The man of sin. I can go through history and show you popes. In particular, was it true in the Inquisitions? Practically every one of those popes was thought to be the Antichrist. I remember when I was a boy, 9 years old, in 1918, my uncle had a grocery store. In the back was a big old pot-bellied stove. In the wintertime, they'd load that up. And an old man named Prigmore and a man named Hood was the blacksmith and all that. In those cold days, they'd gather around that stove. And I listened to him over the Cracker Barrel, had Cracker Barrels in those days and cheese, that's where you get it. And I'd sit and listen to those old men talk about second coming of Christ. You see, they were looking at the fact that Israel had, the Balfour Declaration had just been declared, and Israel had a hope to go back to the land. And they were talking about it. I didn't know what they were talking about, but I remember them talking about second coming of Christ. And, you know, in our time, since that, since 1918 in particular, we've had all kind of predictions about Antichrist. I remember in World War II, remember Mussolini? Had a lot of people. The revived Roman Empire, you know, that's it was a perfect setup, you see. And there are new conditions from regards to how long it takes before the Lord comes. All the conditions that were present from the day that Christ was crucified into the day. There's never been a time when a man was not present who could have fulfilled the role of Antichrist. Never has been. He went to work right then. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's one of the secrets. That's a real study of your own. And I'll tell you truthfully, I haven't even touched the outward surface of that thing, but it's fantastic when you begin to look at it. Now, let me give you some other illustrations. In Isaiah 6, you remember when the prophet Isaiah was told to prophesy. Well, get the setting, if you will. Uzziah, the king, had just died. He ruled longer than any king in Israel. 55 years. And he had been a great king until his last year, or the last 2 years. He pleased God. But he became impressed with himself after all the successes of the years, you know. Of course, none of you ever do that, but he did. And he wanted to act as a priest. And God struck him with leprosy. The last 2 years of his life, he lived a leper. Now, that's the setting of Isaiah 6. Here, they've had a man that's ruled perfectly, except the last 2 years. In the day that the king Uzziah died, oh, that nation was, you can get the setting of that. I saw Jehovah high and lifted up on the throne. And his train filled the temple. And the seraphims I saw with six wings. Two did they cover their face, two they covered their feet, but two they did fly, crying, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah Host. Whole earth is full of his glory. That was a time of despondency, keep in mind. And the door of the temple, the door of the house, trembled. And smoke filled the house. And I said, Woe is me, for my eyes have seen the King. And I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King. That meant death. No man can look on God. Quickly, a seraphim flew to the altar and took the coal from off the altar and flew and touched my mouth, saying, Thy sin is forgiven, you're clean. And I heard Adonai say to Jehovah, Whom shall we send? And I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go to these people and say, You have eyes to see with, you have ears to hear with, you will not see, you will not hear. And Isaiah cried out, How long, Lord, how long? He goes on to tell him. But he doesn't give it in a way that they could understand. Now, when you get to the 11th chapter of Romans, what do you find? You find that Israel is partially blind at that time. The same question is asked. How long? Anybody know how long? Until when? The fullness of what? The complete number. That's how long. And you see, since that statement, Israel has been made completely blind. And they have a veil over their face to this day. That was a secret that tells us about that. We have a secret of Christ, which began at Genesis 3:15. And is progressive all through the Old Testament. And then Paul comes up with my gospel. You remember that? If you turn to the last chapter of Romans, you see it's a secret. These things I'm telling you are all secrets. Last chapter of Romans. And you need, I need to translate this from the Greek so you get the real power of his thought. This is what my gospel is all about. Now to him is, verse 25, last chapter of Romans. Now to him is the power to establish you according to my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to a revelation, not the revelation, which was hushed up, not kept secret, was hushed up since the ages began. But now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for faith obedience. What is the gospel of Paul? Well, the 15th chapter of Acts, you remember the church council? How Paul took Titus the Gentile up to Jerusalem to settle this question about circumcision? Remember that? Do you remember what the outcome of that conference was? Was any Gentiles required to be to do anything? What was required of the Gentile? To keep from fornication, saying strangled, and blood, pure blood, and idol worship. That's the only three things required of the Gentile. Then that's not even required now. We don't have any. That's still a decree, you see. We don't have any decrees. That was in the time when Israel was blind, partially. God was still dealing with it. I've said all that to say this. You see, it's like the wiring. Now, the wiring for these secrets are all through the Old Testament. But they come now to this place called the mystery, the empty room. Nothing about that. That's completely hidden. But you come up to these mysteries as you bring them up to that wall, all these circuits that are, some are hushed up, some begin to be progressive, like the mystery of Christ beginning in Genesis 3:15. All these different lines moving toward one great truth. The mystery. Not a mystery, but the mystery. You'll find in Corinthians, the first chapter, second chapter, a mystery concerning I have not seen, ear have not heard, anything. But God hath what? Revealed it in that. What are they? It was that the rulers, had they known that Jesus Christ was truly God, they wouldn't have what? They wouldn't have put him to death. See, now all these things are building up. The mystery of Paul, the gospel of what Paul says, my gospel. That was this, that the Gentile at that point in time was coming into the blessings of Israel, but not through them. But through what? Grace. See, these are all foundational to the mystery itself. Now, the minute you get into the mystery, you find that everything has come now to one great truth. The dispensation of what? Grace was operative, but now the dispensation of grace brings on the secret. It unlocks all these mysteries that Paul says we're stewards See, we're really getting into deep water now, clear up to here. Watch out, you don't go under. You see, but we have the key to unlock it all. And that's why in Colossians chapter 2, it makes a statement for us to acknowledge the mystery. Why? Look at chapter 2 of Colossians, about verse 3, for one reason. Because they're all hidden whereabouts. This is the capstone of the mystery of Christ. In whom what? Hidden what? Verse 3. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, that's the little room we're talking about. That all the wiring through the ages have come now. And at last, there can be a connection between it and the secret. And in that, we have the ability then to enter into all the subject matters of God. For instance, prophecy. There's no way you can understand prophecy in its time brackets without entering into the secret. You can understand the facts of his coming, but as to the time, remember the question in Peter? That all the prophets wrote about these things, but they didn't understand them. What were the two things they wrote about? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That great parenthesis, that empty room in there, see? They desired what? To understand what grace was all about. And secondly, what else? As to the what? The time. You see what we're pursuing? And we got a long way to go. But let me say this. Our time's running out. We're going to be dealing with these subjects through there. All my sickness wasn't in vain, and I'm still sick, so pray for me. But I want you to see, here's the thing about all this, that the closer we get to the dispensation, you see it amplified in the two epistles to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy reminds us that in these last days our wrestling will be against what? Seducing spirits, planetary spirits, speaking lies and hypocrisy. They will not deny the Antichrist. We've got Antichrist being poured out on our heart every time. And in one of these days, one of them will be the right one. We were just talking about some fellow in England that claimed, he ran a newspaper ad in the New York Times about 2 or 3 years. What was his name? I don't even remember his name. Benjamin Cream. These fellows come and go like hotcakes. And he may not be introductory to it at all. Maybe, I don't know how far down the road. One thing is assured, as far as you're concerned, and that's what you should be interested in, there will be no man's sin until Israel is restored, because Israel has to become an apostate before the man of sin can come. And there's no way Israel can be apostate today because they don't know. Apostate means to turn from the truth. And they've got to find out the truth first before they can turn from it. And the only one that the Bible tells anything about restoring Israel so that they can understand is who? Elijah. So if you want to really look at something, it's an event that lies ahead. When? I don't know. I've got my suspicions, but as the Jewish people said, it's a possibility, you know. And we don't know that. We don't know that. If you got a MasterCard, you don't know, have to worry about it. You got all kind of possibilities. You see? But we live in such a time that things are coming that seems to be to a head. But this has always been true, beloved. If you could have lived, go back through history, every 100 years, these set of circumstances were gathering, and people got out of them from their teachers. I will say this, that not much was said during the Dark Ages because the Romanists wouldn't allow it. But there were people who did. And don't worry, brother, I got gas on my stomach too, so I don't worry about it. Through the Dark Ages, all these things went on in a minor way because they couldn't talk about them openly. But you will find that all through the ages, certain men have appeared upon the scene. In more recent times, Napoleon Bonaparte, did you know he was considered to be the Antichrist? That's right. Mussolini. And I even heard of Stalin being one. I don't know how they got him into the picture, but they did. Men can concoct a lot of things from the circumstances of the hour, and some of it fits. But I assure you, when the man of sin comes, let me show you how it says even the very elect could be deceived if it was possible. God won't allow it, that's all. So his appearance will come like a headline of a newspaper. And they say, oh, this man is, who can make war against him? He's got all the power. He sits in the very throne room of God, in the maos, not the temple, the tabernacle. That has the maos too. And the world will run after him. Israel, number one, because they will be the one, the apostate, you see. I say this to quiet you down, because I guarantee you in the next 10 years, if it's delayed that long, you're going to hear more things come up. I was really surprised that fella Cream, which he's referred to a while ago, ran a full-page ad in the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I don't know what all, concerning his coming. What's supposed to be? When was that? 82. Now, boy, that's pretty bold. And you're going to hear more from that fella. Now, if not from him, his followers, you're going to see all kind of wild rumors. But until Elijah comes, let me show you this, that these are all false assumptions. And the evidence they will produce to make their point will look very good. But if you know one thing, that Israel has to be restored, regardless of how true it may appear, you can say, well, thank you, Lord, for these great secrets that you kept from others, allowed us to participate in. Let's say that you can see that we've opened up a real keg of worms here, because we're going to be looking at, I hate to use those expressions, but you get the figure of speech, I think, real good. Through the days ahead, we want to begin to look at some of these things that all merge and become really understood in the light of what the mystery has to say, because it is the great unveiler of all the purposes of God. Something that you and I are privileged to enter into. This was the first truth lost in the New Testament. As Paul died, he wrote his son in the faith, this thou knowest, that all those in Asia have been turned away from me. That was the heart of Paul. That was the institution of church. Consequently, he said to Timothy, find men who can be trusted, who believe in grace, and acquaint them so that they can go out and teach others. That was the last word from heaven. That's the last authority that we have. And by the grace of God, as long as I have breath, and I trust you will be the same way, you'll not forget that. Don't be worried about the flow, ebb and flow of those who are big mouths just like me. They're always talking about the man of sin, the Lord's coming tomorrow, the rapture's coming tomorrow. None of that's going to take place until Israel's restored. Keep that thought in mind. You'll never be deceived. Because he will deceive the very elect if it's possible. But see, if you get your eye on the donut, not on the hole, you won't be misled. Keep it on Christ. That's what it's about. Our time is gone. Father, we do pray that the Holy Spirit now will do the office work needed to prepare our minds and our hearts for the days ahead as we look into these marvelous truths. Help us to appreciate more and more the mystery itself. These graces for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.